I hope he's your friend. I'll tell you what, some friends come, some friends go. I was reading the Psalms the other day about a friend that, he said, my familiar friends, they left me. They did all things against me. And he didn't have nobody except Jesus Christ. And when you have Jesus Christ, you don't need anything else, amen? But a friend is sort of nice to have. And I hope that you're my friends too. I'm glad you're here today. Would you take your Bible, please, and turn to John chapter 3. It's a wonderful story. And I hate saying story. I keep trying to quit that. It's a wonderful account in the Word of God. It's an account. It's something happened. There's a man who is of the Pharisees. His name is Nicodemus. He is a ruler of the Jews. And just when you say that, it's a mouthful of things. He's a Jew. He's a Pharisee. Pharisee was one of the most strictest sects of all the Israelites. They were very careful about keeping the law. They were almost so heavenly minded, they were no earthly good. Amen. And he was a ruler of the Jews. In other words, he was a master. He was a man that made sure that you kept the laws. He was kind of like, one man said he was probably the most religious man in the world at the time of Jesus Christ was on this earth. And so I guess he knew a lot, but one thing he missed. He missed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. He was the Messiah. That he came to save this wicked world. He came to put people in heaven if they'd only accept him. And so this morning I want to just for a moment perfect you in the fact of salvation. Salvation is a wonderful thing. Since the beginning of time, man has needed a Savior. You remember the account, Adam and Eve. In the Garden of Eden, God gave them everything, and God said it is very good. You know, what he made, first day God made it, made the heavens and the earth and the water, and dark was upon the face of the deep, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And then the second day, God made a firmament, that's a big bubble of water over the earth, and it was a filter for many, many things that are needed today. That we don't have anymore. When the great deluge or the flood happened, that dissipated. That came down upon the earth. And we don't talk much about the firmament anymore. And the boys have been have a hard time getting that rocket through the firmament to get into the moon. Amen. So it's not there. The third day, God separated land from the water. And he gave us the fruit trees and the grass. And I call that the urban spices day. Amen. And thank God for land. And, of course, one-third of this earth is land and two-thirds is water. Then on the fourth day, God put the moon and the stars and the sun in order and the planets. And thank God for that. Lewis and Clark, when they came up from St. Louis, and that year they lost the pennant also. Thank you. I was trying to help you out there. And they came across it. They drew maps. And those maps were so precise. Only one place was over 40 miles off, just a little over 40 miles off. But other than that, they're dead center, just like you'd take a GPS and set today. Isn't that amazing how they did it? But they did it with a sextant, with the sun, with the stars, the planets. And they were able to calculate where they're at when they're traveling across this vast, unheard of wilderness that was here. Then on the fifth day, God made the fish of the sea, and the Bible said he made plenty of fish, plenty of those marine animals in the water. And I'm glad about that, especially when I go fishing, amen. And then he also made the fowl of the air. And for some of you, you've been out geese hunting and duck hunting, you're happy about that too, amen. And so God made all that. And then on the sixth day, God created the creepy things, and call this the creepy day, amen. And on the sixth day, he made the cattle and the elk and the deer and the antelope and seldom is heard. And they made all that. And then God's crowning creation, he made mankind and he made man. And he said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. So when you look at yourself, you're the image of God. God made you that way. Isn't that an incredible thing? thing. Felt sorry for poor old Adam. The monkey had a wife, and a dog had a mama dog, and on and on and on. But he looked poor old Adam. He Bible said, "I won't make a completer for you." In other words, you ain't complete till you got your woman. Amen. That's what the Bible said. Mm-hmm, and I like that. Amen. He said, "It's not good for man to live alone." And so he made woman. And what amazing first operation ever made, first anesthesia that was administered to man. He put man to sleep, and he took a rib out of him and made woman from his bone. An incredible story from there. But God put man in this beautiful, beautiful garden to till it, to work. He was supposed to do a job in there. He was to be the superintendent of the force of all the animals. He had dominion over them. But he gave him one thing to do. He said, "I want you to do one thing." He said, "I don't want you to do this." He said, "I want you to eat the tree of knowledge, good and evil. If you eat of that tree of knowledge, good and evil, you will surely die." Every time when I make a death notification for Cassidy County Sheriff's Office, and when I, with my own people in my church, have to talk to family about death, deep down inside of me, I know that this all happened because man took from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and therefore man died. And since man dies, where does he go? Well, God says he has two places to go. You can go to heaven, you can go to hell. That's your choice. And everyone needs a Savior. Savior, we get the idea of salvation. And everyone needs someone to save them. Some people don't know they're going to. Every man I meet today, it seems like that death is only comes to other people. It never happens to me. It's not going to happen to me. I'm going to live. I'm not going to die. But it happens. It happens. Some people don't realize they're dying, and they bump their leg or something. A friend of mine, he bumped his leg, had a hematoma or a blood clot on his leg, went in to see his doctor, and the doctor says, "I need to talk to you and your wife. You need to come in tomorrow. Come find out." He has full-blown cancer. He was gone within a couple weeks. A lot of people don't understand that we are in the process. One old preacher says, once we hit the wooden cradle, we become heading for the wooden casket. Every step we take is like the drum beat of the mourner drum going to the cemetery. The Bible said it is appointed on the man wants to die, and then the judgment. That's God saying that. And all because of Adam and Eve's sin in the Garden of Eden. The man was supposed to live forever. But man cannot live forever now because he has perpetrated and he has gone against, he has trespassed what God told him to do, and God told him not to take the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and so he did. Man seems to think that death only comes to others. They build their barns, they build their businesses, they build their lands, they build their houses, yet death does come. Though they are unprepared, death will come. So I want to give you a brief, simple, biblical outline of the subject of salvation that you could take this with you. I want to prepare you. I want to perfect you. Perfect the saints in the fact that there is a wonderful, wonderful Savior who came to this earth to die on the cross for us. And He rose from the grave. And He is in heaven today. And there's a day coming when the trump shall sound, the dead in Christ shall rise, and those that remain shall be caught up. That is a day that we're looking forward to. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm not looking for the undertaker. I'm looking for the upper taker. Amen. I'd rather feel the coolness of heaven than the coolness of my death brow on this earth. And all of us, there's not one of us want to die. I haven't met too many people want to die. Now, some people commit suicide to get away from the problems they're having, but just makes more problems. Salvation is a whosoever call. Take notes today. It's a whosoever call. The Scripture tells us salvation is offered to all. Romans chapter 10, verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. 10:13. Thank God for that. We have some churches today that said, well, if you're elect, then you can be. No, Jesus said, for whosoever. That's your choice. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, what they call him, the Prince of Preachers, he had some thoughts of a little bit about what we call Calvinism. And he had some thoughts about the election. But he says, none of us know who's elected, so therefore it is our responsibility to go tell some about Jesus Christ. And he says, on his building of the great tabernacle in London, it said, for whosoever will. And when you went in, when you walked out, it said elected. There's a real fine line to that. And so you've got to be careful and say, well, I can't get saved. No, that's not what God said. The Lord God is not going to frustrate you with the fact that he told you for whosoever shall come. And they said, no, you can't get into here. That's unheard of. That's not thought out. It is offered to all that labor and are heavy laden. Come unto me, all ye labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. It's a wonderful thing. Salvation is by faith. We repent of our sin and it's by faith. And God said, hey, there's a lot of people out there that are in labor and heavy laden. And he said, I'll tell you what, you come to me, I'll give you rest. There's a lot of people just afraid of life. There's a lot of people just say, good night. What in the world's going on in my life? Going on with me? And I need a Savior. Amen. It reminds me of the story of the man. I know you heard it, but I want to hear it again so I can tell it. There's a great flood that came in. And a man, he climbed up on top of his roof of his house. And a guy came by in his boat. And he said, hey, buddy, get in. The water's getting deeper. He said, don't worry. I prayed and God's going to take care of me. A little later, here came another boat. And the guy said, man, you better get out of here. Your house is going to... No, he said, I'm trusting God. And all of a sudden, here comes a helicopter. Pop, 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 pop. He said, get in the boat. He said, no. He said, all right, get on the rig. We'll pull you up. He said, no, I'm waiting for God. And all of a sudden, he woke up in heaven. And he looked at God, a little aspirated about God. And he said, hey, how come you didn't take care? He said, good night. I sent you two boats and a helicopter. What more am I going to give you? That's the way a lot of people are today. Hey, trust God. The Bible said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God said, hey, you're having a hard time. You're weary of this life. Hey, I'll tell you what. Why don't you come unto me and all ye that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. By the way, it's offered to whosoever believes. John 3:15, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. That means go to hell, but have eternal life. That means go to heaven. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 4:14, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I will give him shall be in him a well water springing up into everlasting life. In other words, it doesn't stop. The spring does not stop once you trust Christ as your personal Savior. John 11:26, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. He looked to her and says, Martha, believest thou this? It is offered to all the whole ends of the world. Isaiah 45:22 has a wonderful scripture there. It says, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. I have sworn by myself, the word is going out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear. When you're reading John 3, you notice where it talked about how that as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, a lot of people question that. By the way, have you ever seen an amulet? Next time you look at an amulet, you'll see a star. And you'll see a pole, and you'll see a snake. You know that means for healing. You see, back in the Old Testament time when Moses was bringing the children through the wilderness, they started griping, complaining. They grumbled about the food that God was giving, and God got fired up. God got upset with them. His righteous indignation said, good night, I have given them food to eat through this wilderness. I've given them a light at night, and I've given them a cloud at day to keep it. And they are grumbling and complaining when I'm feeding them. Therefore, the Bible said, he sent a plague of fiery snakes that went in and bit them. Moses came to God and said, dear God, you're going to kill them all. Please, God, stop the plague. And God said, okay, Moses, I want you to get a pole. And I want you to get a brazen serpent, and I want you to fasten on that, and I want you to lift it up. And anybody that looks at that symbol will live. You probably heard the song, look and live, my brother, look and live. Look to Jesus now and live. It's recorded in his word, hallelujah. It is only that you look and live. So when Jesus was talking to this Pharisee, this ruler of the Jews, Nicodemus, he says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so shall the Son of Man also be lifted up. The snake is always illustrating sin. And someone had to be crucified and held up the cross. His name was Jesus. And so the simplicity of salvation is this. You look and you live. I don't understand all the doctrine of salvation, you may say. I don't understand all the this and that and these and that, but I do know one thing. I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. The man that wrote Amazing Grace, Jonathan Edwards, at 81 years old, someone asked him the question. He said, well, my mind's about gone, but he said, I do know one thing. I am a sinner, and I have a great Savior. And he said, that's all I know. Salvation is the most amazing thing. When a person trusts Jesus Christ as the first Savior, the Bible says the old things become new. Our life is changed. Our life has become more like Jesus Christ. The Bible talks about when a man gets saved, he becomes converted. Literally, it means it is a constant thing that's happening. Our missiles, I remember when I first came to Malmstrom 31 years ago, they were using this little eyepiece that looked out the missile wall to sight those missiles towards you know where. And then all of a sudden they started changing some of those missiles and guidance systems, a whole bunch of things. You know what? As long as I've been here for 31 years, they just keep changing that stuff. Right? Some of you missileers, you know what I'm talking about. Some of you cops know what I'm, they're always changing. There's some certain things changing. That's exactly what the Bible says. That a man gets saved, he is converted. In other words, he keeps changing and changing and changing. He keeps getting better and better and better for the Lord. In fact, the closer you get to God, you realize the worse you are. Amen. Isn't that the truth? You find that God is more holy all the time. And there are certain things when you first got saved, you would never say now because you have the fear of God in your heart and say, I don't want to disappoint my Heavenly Father. So when a person gets saved, there's a lot of things that add to him. Number one, he gets saved. He gets saved from hell and destruction. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's what we got saved for. Then all of a sudden, we realize that we got saved and there's some changes that are going on in our life. We want to serve the Lord. How can I serve God? First thing you do is you follow the Lord and believe in baptism. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed of, I want you to know that I've trusted Christ as my personal Savior and I want to follow the Lord and believe in baptism. Then along the line, when you get saved, your life is changing. There's you're being converted now. You're saying, boy, look what God does for me. Hey, God said, I am His son now. Wow. That means I went from a beggar and a pauper to the king line. I am part of God now. Amazing thing. I have the blood of Jesus Christ flowing in my heart now. Exactly what happened. I don't know. He says, hey, don't call me any longer a servant. Call yourself my friend. Call yourself my son. Boy. And he says, what I have, you get. That's an incredible thing. God, who created this universe in 6 days, says that you have me in you. Greater things can you do than I did. That's powerful. So when a person gets saved, he realizes that it has been offered to all the world. Let me read a couple of scriptures on that. The Bible says here in Ezekiel 33:11, say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death. Isn't that amazing? He says, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. He says, it is not fun that I see people plummeting into hell. It's not my enjoyment to throw people into hell because of their stupidity and that they will not receive me as their Savior. I've tried everything I could. Read it. Ezekiel 33:1. And say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? If there's ever a verse that you read to see, hear the frustration of God's heart, it's there, right there. I'm not happy. I hear people all the time. They say, go to where the boogeyman lives. I hear them all the time. And I'm going like, you don't understand. Why would you wish someone to go to a place that will burn forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and no let up? No escape. How in the world can you even think about saying that? Even God, the maker of this universe, he said, I have no pleasure when the wicked go there. Matthew 28:19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Timothy 2:4. Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth? See, there's scripture after scripture. God says, hey, I want you to come to heaven. I even gave my only begotten Son to die on the cross to suffer such shame for you to come to heaven. I have offered you a Savior. Now your choice is to accept it or reject it. Scripture says in John 3, he that believeth on the Son, verse 36, hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. You want to go to hell? You don't have to do nothing. You don't have to do nothing. Not one thing. You want to go to heaven? You put your faith, your trust, your belief in Jesus Christ, that he shed his blood so that you could go free. That's how simple salvation is. You see your friend, and you see your friend, and you want him to come to Christ. And you tell him, hey, can I talk to you? Can I tell you something that's really changed my life? And what are you talking about? Hey, can I ask you a question? You died today, where did you go? I don't know. It doesn't make any difference, does it? Yeah, it doesn't make any difference. Jesus Christ loved you so much. Died on the cross for you. And all that time you're praying, the Holy Spirit touches his heart. Talk to him. Amen? You want these people to come to Christ? Our goal, our number one thing at Heritage Baptist Church is to see people come to Christ. We should have the same mindset of God. In fact, as Jesus told us to, and Paul the Apostle said, hey, as I follow God, follow me. And what was he doing? He was telling people about Jesus Christ, telling them that there's a hell to shun and a heaven to gain. And the simpleness of it. Satan is trying to make it so hard. And he throws all kinds of things at people, and all of a sudden some people get on their high horse and say, okay, we're going to make a religion here, this new church, we're going to, this is what we believe. And they want you to take the Bible. If a man reads the Bible with an open mind and an open heart, I'll guarantee you, he'll be at the Baptist church that believes in the Word of God, that believes that the Scripture is true, it has been preserved for us. He'll believe that the virgin birth, he'll believe in the blood of Jesus Christ that saves. It's not by works that any man should boast. It's the gift of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah. He'll believe that. Just read it. I heard a man tell me about it. He said, I was teaching the Revelation, and he said, I don't know how you can teach the Revelation. That is so hard and it's so deep and so on. I said, what are you talking about? Well, he said, it is. I can't understand it. I said, well, what is the red horse? Well, the red horse means, I said, no, red horse is a red horse. That's its color. Don't try to read things into it. Just read what the Bible says. In fact, if you really study the Scripture, you find out that John was an old man. He wrote the Revelation, and it was to the young Christians, baby Christians, so they'd understand that Jesus was coming back. It's not too hard. You know, these are things that are going to happen. And by the way, can I just respond to that? Everything that God has told us about His coming has come true. It's all done. All we have to do is hear the trumpet. All we have to do is hear the trumpet. I talked to one guy the other day. He said, I'm so excited about the Lord coming back. He said, every time I hear a horn honk, I jump on my tiptoes. Amen. The offer is to as many as find Him. Matthew 22:9, go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. It's our responsibility. Heritage Baptist Church, we have Saturday. That's officially the day we go soul winning. That doesn't mean you can't go soul winning on today or tomorrow. Or, you know, it's just the time that we come together to go soul winning. It just makes it easier for us. But you ought to be out soul winning every day. You ought to have a tract in your pocket that's passing out, giving people about Jesus Christ. You ought to be concerned about this world. God does not mock men. If He offers salvation to all, then He also desires to save all and to extend the same help to all who choose Him. There's a lot of people that say, well, I'm not called. I'm not elected. I can't. No. God does not mock men. He offers salvation to all. Then He also desires to save them and to extend the same help to all those who choose Him. Man's will. You all have a will. We Baptists believe in a doctrine called free will. You've even heard some churches called the Free Will Baptist Church down south. Well, believe in free will. Free will means that every man has a choice. You have a free will to make a choice. Now, you make that choice, it's either going to pay or going to cost you. But you have a choice. Just like when you're out and daddy says, I want you to be home by 10 o'clock, and you've got that cute little girlfriend with you and your buddy, and you never go alone, amen? Amen? You got your buddy and his girlfriend in the back, and you're driving down the road, and it's about 9:30, and your buddy says, hey! Come on, let's go over here. And you look at him and say, I can't make it home by then. Well, that's your will. And you think it's more important to spend time with that cute little thing next to you. You're willing to take the beating when you get home. So that means the daddy's got to make something worse than you sitting by that cute little girl for a couple more minutes. Huh? He has a free will. I know I'm going to get beat, but I'll take the beating because I think it's just so fine to smell her gay perfume, amen. And her little eyelashes that are about like this, they look like butterflies. You have free will. And God says man has a free will. Let me tell you about man's free will. Listen now. Man's will is the only obstacle to the salvation of anyone. God does not give one man the will to do good and leave the other without all help in this respect. So man has a free will. He has a choice. There are some people who said, no, you don't have a choice. You're elected, so you don't have a choice. You're going to get saved no matter what. God says, no, you have a will. And you have a choice to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior or not receive Jesus Christ. I don't care who you are, what color you are, if you're fat, short, skinny, waddle, I don't care. You have a choice to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son that whosoever believeth in Him, whosoever. Amen. So it's your choice. You walk out of this building today, you do not receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you've exercised your will. And that is a damnable thing. To exercise your will against the Holy Spirit of God, saying, listen, you need to be saved. The end of all that is this. But if you do exercise your will, then God, His judgment, will also be exercised. Isaiah 26:9. With my soul have I desired thee in the night. Yea, my spirit within me will I seek thee early. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. They will learn it. Psalm 107:6. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distress. Verse 13. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distresses. That's your choice. Dear God, I'm a sinner. I deserve hell. I don't want to go to hell. I need a Savior. And I can't get out of this thing without a Savior. And so therefore it puts it on your will, whether you accept Him or not. Would you fall on your knees before God or you shake your fist to Him? That's your choice. But every time we have an action, there's always a reaction. My action to God is I don't need you. God says, fine. My action towards you is hell forever. Where the worm dieth not. You'll never sleep. You'll never hold your loved one in your arm again. You'll never see your child. You'll never see your wife. You'll never see your family. You will be in hell alone forever and ever and ever. Where the Bible talks about torture and the torment of hell. And there's no way getting out of it. That's the action. Your will says, I need a Savior. And God says, come unto me, all ye labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Come on. Come on, I'll take care of you. I'll put you in a place. Pavement up there is pure gold. Beautiful streets. Beautiful homes. Beautiful place. Heaven where the river of water runs crystal clear from the throne of God. In hell, there's only soot and filth and dirt and dryness. There's not one drop of water there. And Jesus said, hey, come on, me, and I'll show you my Father's house. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said, then, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how do we know the way? Isn't that amazing? He'd been with Jesus 3 years. He didn't know nothing. It's not like a few people I know. Just right over there. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I break it down like that. I'm the way. It's the only way you're going to get there. I'm the truth. I would never tell you that. I'm the life. unto everlasting life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Father in heaven, I pray you'd speak to our hearts. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for today. We thank you for the promise of salvation. Glory to God. Hallelujah. What a deal. All I have to do is say, Lord, forgive my sins and come into my heart, and you save me. And you save me from utter disaster. You save me. And not only that, but while I'm on this earth, you said, I'll never leave thee nor I'll forsake thee. Hey, you're one of my boys. You're one of mine. I won't leave you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. But, oh God, if I'm speaking to someone here today, and their will is, I don't need that. My heart's breaking. Tears flow down my eyes to think that someone wouldn't want this great thing you've called heaven. With your heads bowed and eyes closed today, you're here today and you say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. Boy, I'd sure like to know that for sure. I'd sure like to know for sure if I was on my way to heaven. My friend, you've come to the right place because we specialize this at Heritage Baptist. We want you saved. We're not here to make Baptists out of here. We're here to get you to make sure that you know for sure if you die today, you'd go to heaven without question. You have a Bible verse that says, this is what the Bible promised to me. I was 14 years old when I realized I was a sinner, and I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Do you have a testimony like that? Hey, I was at Bible camp. Hey, I was at vacation Bible school. Hey, I was at home, and boy, I was scared. And I called for my daddy, or I called for my mama to come to my bedroom, and I said, Daddy, I'm not sure I'm saved. You have a testimony like that? I hope you do. If you don't, can I help you? Can I be a blessing to you? Can I help you today? Won't you receive Jesus as your Savior? I'm going to ask everyone to stand. I'm going to have my pianist play for me. You're here today, and you say, preacher, I am not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I have a home in heaven. Hey, won't you take care of that today? Won't you just step out of that seat, walk down this aisle and say, preacher, I got to take care of that. I want to make sure that I'm on my way to heaven. Why don't you come right now? Just come. Just step right out. Come on. And say, oh, God, I need to take care of that. You come right now. Come right now. Come right now. Just step out of the seat. Come on. Let me show you from God's Word how you can know for sure if you die today that you go to heaven. Won't you come today? What a wonderful thing it is to know for sure if you die today, you go to heaven. You're here today and you say, preacher, I've accepted Christ as my personal Savior, but I have not followed the Lord Jesus Christ in believer's baptism. That's down in the water, not by the water, signifying, testifying that you've already asked Jesus in your heart. Why didn't you come right now? You're here today and you say, preacher, we want to become members of this church. This is where we believe God has brought me to her. This is where God has brought me to. We'd sure love you to be a part of this place. This is a great place. You're here today and you say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. You come on. You're here today and you say, preacher, I've been saved, but I haven't followed Lord and Believer Baptist. Why don't you come? Or you're here today and say, preacher, you know, we don't have a church. You know, the saddest thing the other day, I had to do a death notification with the sheriff's office. And I said to the man who was 80 years old, I said to him, I said, sir, can I call your pastor? He says, I don't go to church. His son just committed suicide. He had nobody to go to. He was alone, no wife. Really, no family. Now, I tell you what, you have a church. You have a pastor. It means a lot. I'll promise you that. It means a lot. I've seen it. I hope that you'll live for God. I hope you'll be so excited about this salvation business, you'll start passing around and telling other people about it. I hope tonight, if you look up here just for a second, I hope tonight you'd come back. Hey, don't miss. I'm trying to perfect the saints. It's pretty hard to work on you when you're not there, amen? Pretty hard to carve on you and make you sharp and make you perfect. That's what perfecting means. Is, no, perfect it. I worked on a barbecue rib recipe. I worked on that thing, I'll bet you, 20 years. And the last sportsman's camp, I hit it. I finally hit it. I made it last night. Taste the same way. Somebody's hungry now. Anyway, I got a rack in the freezer if you want, refrigerator if you want. But anyway, it's amazing. I finally hit it. You know what I did? I perfected that. I just kept working on it. Now I have North Carolina sweet barbecue ribs. I'm telling you what. You say, what's in it? Sorry. Ancient redneck secret. All right. Be back tonight, 6 o'clock. Oh, no, 5:15. Don't miss my Sunday school class. Don't you miss Sunday school teachers, officers, me. Please don't miss. I beg you. And there's no good football games on anyway because the Vikings lost already. But anyway, don't miss 5:15 tonight and then 6 o'clock. Don't miss that. And if you'd like to be a Sunday school teacher, I'd sure like you to sit in with our teachers' officer meetings. Be a good blessing to you. Thank you. God bless you. Have a great day, and see you back at 5:15 or 6:00.